Well, whatever is on your heart, we'll have time to pray about in a moment or two. First, let's look into the scripture and encourage our hearts, hopefully, a bit. Tonight, we're looking into the first chapter of 1 Peter. If you would join me there in 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll read verse 3 and verse 4. Of course, we've been thinking about heaven a lot, haven't we? And whether it's loved ones that are going to look into the face of Jesus for themselves, and all this mirage, and let me say it pointedly and advisedly, this mirage, the world is going to pass away, and they're going to really step into reality, or whether it's been through the study of the book of Revelation, and we're face to face with things that God gave John to see and to write and for us to read and to be encouraged by. As we say, our hearts have been much on heaven. Well, here are a couple of verses to encourage us as well from the book of 1 Peter. And he says there in chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." There's a lot of theology right there, and it's a little microcosm of the gospel. And so we can't touch on everything in the time that we have, but maybe some things here to encourage us. I like the thought that it says that we have been born again to obtain an inheritance. Now, you know what inheritances are. It is something that the father or the parent set aside for the child, for the children, right? Paul is appealing to this thought when he says to the Corinthians, now I'm coming again the third time, and he said, and I don't want to receive from you, I want to give to you. He said, it's that way. He says, I'm not seeking yours, I'm seeking you. I want to be a blessing to you, not a drain and a drag on you. Then he quotes as a principle, for children don't lay aside for parents, parents lay aside for children. You remember the place in 2 Corinthians. Well, he's tapping into something that everybody's familiar with, and maybe some people are very familiar with it and some just moderately so, but the idea and the thought is that a parent will lay up, because of love, because of position, because of relationship, the parent will lay up for the child so that at the proper time the child can come into the inheritance that the father has set aside. Well, Peter is saying God has done us this way. There's inheritance for us. Well, that's a sweet thought, isn't it? Now, we're not walking in the fullness of it yet, are we? In fact, when you look at the book of Revelation, you think, oh my, it's just like we sang here. So many have tried, but they couldn't describe all the beauties on that bright shore. For it's never entered into the hearts of men what the Father has in store. That's another reason we wanted to sing this song and start working on it and learn it, is that it taps into this thought, oh, what is awaiting us? Oh, the good. You know, some people just say, man, if I could just get to the point where I could step into my inheritance, life would be a bowl of cherries. It'd be great if you like cherries. Now, why do we have a right to this? Well, back up. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. That means that we have been given the spirit of adoption. When he gave to us new life, he gave to us the spirit of adoption. That means he looks upon us as legal heirs. This is, if you want to be just nuts and bolts about this thing, it's a legal thing. It will stand up in any court. God has given this to his people. We are his heirs. We are his inheritors. And in due time, we shall walk in what God has given to us, because he's made us sons and he's made us daughters. And it's a sweet thought that he looks at you and says, daughter. Or he looks at you and he says, son. And then what he wants to do, because you are that, is lay up for you good things. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, and I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you, but it is so. And so I'm coming back to receive you and take you to myself, that where I am, and oh, where he is, there we might be also. It's an encouraging thought, isn't it? But now, as Peter tries to describe this, he goes to John's tactic. Or maybe John borrows from Peter. Who knows? Who cares? But what he's saying is just this. It's not like something else. This is the strongest way he can put it, is he's saying that inheritance, the glory that awaits us, is not like what we know. For instance, what does he say? Our inheritance, verse 4, is imperishable. And there's your first negative. It doesn't perish. It is undefiled. There's your second one. It is not defiled or cannot be defiled. And then thirdly, it will not fade away. Now, have you got some concept of earthly inheritances? Maybe it's happened to you. Maybe you've heard the story. Maybe you've read it somewhere, that these things have come into play. I mean, men can set up things for children, and then something unusual happens. Something untoward happens. So let's just put it that way. And then the inheritance is somehow not realized. Or, they say the inheritance is fully walked into, and then it just sort of fitters away. That's this age. That's this world. Let me give you some illustrations. An inheritance which is imperishable. I've got time for this. I've told you this story before, but it's pertinent for this. My dad was a country boy raised on a farm in southern Oklahoma, and he was the rightful heir to a third of the property, which at the end, last moment, he got left to one child, one son. And that son was managing the place, that we thought, until we found out at the last moment that he had sold it. Now, this is the place that as a child you go to every family get together. All your summers are spent there. It's the kind of thing that it kind of gets in your little psyche as a child, and you start to love it, even though it's not Switzerland, it's home. I think it's sort of like who had the field, the vegetable field next to the king's palace, and the king said, "Give me that, and I'll give you a better field." He said, "No. No." Anybody remember the name? Just feel free to holler it out. Naboth. That's right. Naboth's vineyard, wasn't it? And he said, "No." Even with the prospect of something better, he said, "God forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers away. No, this is our plot of ground. It may not mean a whole lot to anybody but us, but it's ours. It's in the family for generations." And that's the sort of thing that we felt in our family. And all of a sudden, it was just gone, sold. And we could go back there. There was one house plot with 2 acres left. We could go there and kind of stand at the fence and then look at what once was ours, what could have been stomping ground for children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But no, it perished. The earthly inheritance perished. Not so the heavenly. God is seeing to it that this is, how does he say this, reserved in heaven for you. Have you come to a hotel late at night? You're much later than you thought. And you said, "Have you still got my room?" And they said, of course, we've saved it for you. It's in your name. We've got your credit card. Of course we saved it. Okay, I'll take it. I'm here. It's been reserved for you. And there's an inheritance likewise reserved for us. And it will not be parceled out, sold off, just vanishing through your fingers. It's eternal. It is permanent. The next thing, the next negative, he says, it is undefiled. Billy had an interesting experience today. She was trying to write this verse to a friend, and the spell correct, kept changing her undefiled. And said, no, you mean undefined. No, I don't. I mean undefiled. And it changed again. This is a list of options that you could use instead of undefiled. And none of them were the right word. And we thought to ourselves, the dictionary, which is programmed by men, doesn't even understand this. They don't understand undefiled because everything is defiled. And I think about the inheritance from our forefathers, Washington, Lincoln, pick your statesman, and these great men that walked these shores and left to us this country, would they recognize it? Would they say, this is not what we left our descendants? This is not the country that we intended for them to walk in. No. It's been defiled. There's something wrong with it. There's a perversity. We didn't write the Declaration, nor the Bill of Rights, nor the Constitution to say what these people are saying that it says. It's been defiled. And we have to live in that here, don't we? But not in the world to come. Is that a sweet thought? It's undefiled. It's purity without definition. It is glory that is untainted. It is the bright morning, as we sing, the night will cease, for the Prince of Peace is the light that forever shines. Oh, this inheritance is undefiled, and it will not fade away. To fade away is an old word in the Greek. It means sort of just to wither, or to, it's just gone. And let me take you back to my grandfather's farm. It may have been a mercy that it slipped out of the family hands, for just in a few years, the Red River changed its course. If you know anything about the Red River, it's as fickle as, what's fickle? School children? The girl you dated in seventh grade? I don't know. It can just do this and this and this, and it was the southern boundary of my grandpa's farm. And all of a sudden, after some heavy rains upstream, it decides it wants to swing north, and it cuts and eats away half the farm. We're talking about a mile by mile. It's a section of land, but not anymore. It's got the Red River coming up right through it and then swinging off this way, and it's more than half of it's gone. It's washed away. It's what? It has faded away. It's like sand in the midst of water, just taking it, eating it, trees going down, crops being destroyed, windmills gone. It's there. It's not there. It's somewhere. It washed somewhere. It had to, but It's no longer in the family, and it's no longer belonging to the man that bought it. It's gone. Ah, not so your inheritance that God has reserved for you. And the only thing that Peter can say is what God has given to us is not like this world. World forces like the sun, I mean simple things like the sun, like the rain, they come through your window. And they get the fabric, it's on your curtains, and after a while it just starts to fade. Have you noticed that? And you go back after a while and look at the curtain and say, wait a minute, this is supposed to be whatever. And it's not that anymore. In fact, you could see a fold that maybe was missed by the sunlight. Oh, there's the original color. What's happened? It's faded. There are no earthly forces working in the heaven of heavens, in God's good creation, new creation. Pardon me. There is none of this, none of that. That's not COVID, by the way. That's a tickle in my throat. An inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. This age and the forces of it cannot touch this. It's reserved in heaven for you. Why? Because God looks at you as a son. He has given to you that great spirit of adoption, and mercy has crowned you, and he has made you to be born again to a living hope. When the Scripture speaks of living hope, of what does it speak? The resurrection. But not just some event at the end of days. Let me describe to you or read to you what John says. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. What's he saying? We're God's sons and daughters now. We've been given that now. We're just waiting. We're waiting for the inheritance. And it's not yet appeared what it's going to be. But we know this, that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. It's not just that this old body will stand up again. It will stand up clean and pure as the inheritance to which it's going. It'll be spotless as the New Jerusalem. It will be as ready for that as that is for it. Does that make sense? There'll be no disparity between us stepping into this glory. It'll be right. It'll be appropriate. It'll be good. And bless God for that. Okay, let's spend the rest of our time in prayer. And so let's pray.